Welcome, ladies and gentlemen, to the Integrity Leadership Call. Good evening, good morning, good afternoon to all of you all across the world. Again, glad to have you all on to the Integrity Leadership Call. We are, in the book for this time period, Code of the Extraordinary Mind by Vishen Lakhiani. If you do not have the book, no worries. In the chat, we're going to put the YouTube link to where you can hear the audio book. And that way you will be able to follow along. We put it on in the group chat as well, so that with the call information, so that is there. Now we are in chapter 7 of the book. This is the second part of chapter 7. We did the first part, and Antonio covered the first part last week, last Thursday, chapter 7, Living Blissfully, where we learn about the importance discipline of maintaining daily bliss. Okay, so maintaining daily bliss is a discipline, hence the word blissipline.
Ask them how they do okay. From last week up until now.
How did you do from last week up until now with your blissipline? Now, you know I'm a teacher, so I will call and volunteer people if you don't volunteer yourself. So I'll ask them, there you go, come on, Miss.
I can say that I forgot that I was trying to understand why this blissfulness was like in this mess, but now I understand. Okay.
Mm-hmm. All right. All right. Mr. Field had one thumb up and one thumb down. Okay. Antonio says, understood. Said he understands. Okay. Maintaining daily bliss. Being disciplined and maintaining daily bliss. Okay. Antonio is looking for others to give more feedback. So how did you do from last week up until today?
Right.
With your discipline. Okay. He wants to. Miss Felicia, how are you?
Howdy, howdy, howdy.
Howdy, howdy, howdy. How did you do last week with your discipline?
Huh?
How did you do last week with your discipline?
Yeah, I'm on target. I feel good. I actually put some things in motion this week.
All right. You put some things in motion this week, huh?
Yes, dear.
Right now. Come on, come on.
Yeah, I'm on there.
Okay. Antonio said, did you get mad this week?
Nope, not at all. I have no reason to get mad. I'm a happy camper.
All right.
I'm telling y'all, I'm working it.
Come on, Miss Felicia. That's it.
Did you get all your building stuff taken care of? I saw you. Your picture. Congratulations!
Thank you. I'm so exhausted. We got about two more nights worth of work. We worked last night until about 1 o'clock this morning. We're almost there. We passed our inspection, which is a good thing, but just the last little bit of tidying up. But we're officially opening Monday morning, so I'm really happy about that.
Yay!
Yeah.
Yay, congratulations on your opening.
Thank y'all so much.
All right, Miss Felicia, what's
she opening?
So I'm opening up a child care center. We're about 20 miles south of downtown Houston, and are the medical center, should I say. And so we're in Rocheron, a little small community there. We're sitting right on the cusp of the main highway, major traffic flow. We're surrounded with about 14 different neighborhoods just in that community there, Lakes of Savannah. Huge, huge opportunity for us. And so we officially passed our fire inspection about a month and a half ago. Then of course we had the freeze, went through all that, child care licensing came in. We passed our inspection on Wednesday. And so we're opening on Monday of this week. We're opening up a daycare.
Woo! All right, everybody, super, let's super give it up excited. For Felicia. Woo!
Thank you all. Thank you all.
Right. Super congratulations, Miss Felicia.
Thank you.
All right.
So that's where my focus has been these last couple of days.
All right. Good deal. Good job. Good job. Okay. Antonio said that's the way it should be. All right. Good job. Good job. All right. Now, shout out to Tierney, who's always on the road. Be safe. You and Christina. y'all be safe on the road. All right.
Yes, ma'am. Thank you, Miss Grace.
All right, now. Okay, listen. I have never, not saying that they have never been mad, but these two, I never see them mad. Never, Tierney and Christina, never see them mad. So I'm going to get you two. Have y'all been mad this week? Because we're talking about discipline last week. Uh-oh, she pointed to Christina. Wait a minute. Don't be doing her like that. Don't do her like that, Tierney.
Thank you. Don't be under the bus.
Antonio made me cry.
Uh-oh. Antonio, yeah, he was acting like Christina. You say Antonio, she said, Antonio made me cry.
That's some angry tears.
She's shaking her head. Uh-oh, that was some angry tears? That was angry tears, Tierney? Oh, goodness. All right. Okay, let's hear about anybody else. Did anybody have a great week like Felicia? You want to be transparent and I did get angry. I did get angry last week. So, you know, this day, that day, whatever. You know, come on, let us know. We're family. Come on. We got it. Tierney, you look like you're trying to unmute your mic. Hey, you let Christina unmute the mic or something. I don't know. Okay.
I'm about to say, I'm scared of all of that because, okay. Tierney, you want to talk? Go on and talk, Tierney. Don't crash.
Please.
I want to know when they finish.
Okay.
No anger here.
All right, Mr. Jerry.
No anger here.
Yes. All right. Good stuff, Mr. Jerry.
Not ask everybody about sadness.
Oh, okay. Antonio told me to ask you all, did anybody get sad this past week from Thursday to today? Anybody get sad?
I did.
All right.
Okay. I've done a lot of crying.
Okay. All right. Antonio said, that's good. That's cool.
But in a blissful way, that's why I said I didn't understand all of the emotion that was going on this week in the manner that it was. But for you to say that was the assignment, then I understand.
All right. Gotcha. Okay. Miss Susan?
Yes, I got sad. Yesterday was St. Patrick's Day. And, you know, my mom and my grandmother and my aunts, it was always celebrated. They're from Ireland. My grandmother was the only one that came over from Ireland, being the oldest. And yesterday I posted about the family, the Levis family. They've carried on. They still have the farm and still have a venue, which has been a staple there for many, many years, way, way, way back. And it is a kind of restaurant, food, all kinds of things like that during the day. And then at night it's a bar. And then a young family member overtook it, and it has become one of the top concert venues in the area. And my cousin went a couple of years ago and got to meet everybody. All my family's been there but me. But it made me sad to miss my mom yesterday and to pay tribute to all of them, my Irish blessing family.
All right. Antonio says he understands. Good deal. Good stuff. Miss Felicia? And then Mr. Phil.
So I had a moment today, and it really was a sad moment. I think I just kind of had a moment where I missed my mom. With everything that's going on around me right now, my mom has been deceased now for 3 years. And so the joy of opening up a shop. Huh?
I say your hair is laid.
I just said
it is.
That's it. Now. No, you broke my moment. I was going to have a teary-eyed moment again.
I didn't want to be inappropriate, but yes, I was saying the same thing, girl.
Oh, thank you. But no, I woke up this morning and I was like, man, I miss my mom because this has been such a joyous week for me, and having my grandkids with me, my children with me, celebrating our victories. And it's just, like for me, I've gone through so much in life. I had so many hardships, divorce, you name it, single mother. And to bounce back and to live the life that I'm living today, I just wish my mom was here to see it. Like I know she would be so happy, but that was my sad moment today.
She does see it.
I know.
But I love it. Thank you for your transparency. Keep going, sure. Grace.
All right, Mr. Phil, floor is yours.
Well, I don't like sharing sad moments, but I'm assuming that there's some purpose behind him doing this. So yeah. I'm gonna share mine. I just saw on the news today, there was a flea and tick collar that they put on pets, and over 1,700 pets have died because of it. So I immediately, if that doesn't make you sad, then we need to talk offline, because that, so I just prayed for all the owners of those pets, a little peace, a little love, a little just remembering what joy their pets brought to them, and what a sad, sad situation.
Yes, it is. Yeah. All right. Thank you, Mr. Phil. I was going to say, anyone else have any sad moments?
Yes.
Is that Mr. Dowd? Go ahead.
Yes.
Okay.
You know me. Somebody else wants to go first?
You go first, and can I go after you, please?
No, Mama, you can go first. I'll wait for you.
You're so sweet.
Right.
I don't know. You're so sweet. I appreciate you. God bless you. I love y'all. I love all of y'all. And I promise not to take long, but I did have a sad, bittersweet moment today. I had quite a breakthrough on the Clubhouse call, and I want to thank all of y'all for it. It was sad because I tapped into some emotions and some real truths that have been hindering my growth process. It's also beautiful because although it hurt and it still makes me cry when I think about it,
I love you too, baby.
I know that it's for my good, and I know the awakening that took place needed to take place, and I bless God for using Antonia as a vessel, and for Ty who prayed, and for all of you giving me that moment, because the truth is, it's hard sometimes to really face what reality really is, even if it's something simple, because a wall is a wall, no matter whether it's simple or not. But the good thing about it is that the wall doesn't have be there, and because of what I learned today, it will no longer be there, and I know I'm not going to be the same because of it. So that was my sad moment, but also my victory. So I thank y'all.
Right.
That was beautiful.
That platform of turning the pain into paid.
That's it. There's no pain in the paid.
I'm on Clubhouse. I seen the messages though.
I love y'all. It was beautiful and needful. So thank y'all.
You're very welcome. Very welcome. Mr. Dowd, the floor is yours.
Yeah. So I was having a good day yesterday. It started off a little bit rough, but by the end of yesterday, I was in a vibration that, you know what, I'm comfortable in my loneliness, in this discomfort. I'm okay. I can do this. I'm in the vibration of God. I'm in a God consciousness sort of thing. And then early hours of this morning, I'm having a dream. And the dream is about my ex-wife. I'm trying to get back to her. And I'm fighting to get back to her. And finally we get back, only for me to wake up and realize, oh, it was just a freaking dream. And I'm like, oh shit, I gotta start my day again on a low vibration, facing the day and facing this reality. And a buddy of mine who's going through something similar, he sends me the song by Ed Sheeran. And he's like, bro, you got to listen to it. It's really sad. It's going to like put a knife in your heart and it's going to twist. I'm like, but I don't want to be listening to stuff like that. And he's like, listen to it. I promise you, you know, it's going to make you stronger. If it doesn't kill you, it's going to make you stronger. And I'm like, my coach told me to stay away from movies, music, maybe even places that's going to remind me of that, because it's going to put me in a different vibration. And he insists, no, just listen to it. So I listened to it, and lo and behold, it got me in a funky vibe. And I'm like, okay, you know, it didn't kill me. It's not really making me stronger, but okay, you know, I can take it. I can face this stuff. And then obviously towards the afternoon, I'm just not feeling in a good space. And I was at the grocery store, and usually I keep my journal with me. And I had taken my journal out of my bag to pack the groceries. And I left the journal on the counter of the person that was ringing me up. And I went back home, and I realized, oh damn, I left my journal behind, and in there is everything about me, about, you know, what I'm going through, what I should be grateful for. It's my life, basically, right now. And I'm like, but you know what? I'm not ashamed of it. If somebody wants to open, let them open it. I am not ashamed of my feelings. And even though they are my thoughts and my feelings, I am not my thoughts and my feelings. They don't own me. They're just something that I'm currently going through, and I shouldn't be ashamed of it. And it's just an experience I'm having on earth in this form. So anyways, I go, I pick it up. The lady wants to make sure that it's me. I get my book, I come back. I'm still a bit teary-eyed or whatever. And then I switch on to this YouTube thing, and I'm listening to this Buddha guy. Or not Buddha guy, but he's a monk, whatever. And he was talking about human connection. And he was like, you know what? It might be a radical thought or whatever, but he was saying that a lot of the time, human connection can be a bit of an illusion. We're searching so much for connection, but we still find ourselves feeling alone. And what we end up finding is that we're all alone together. He said, if you want to really experience connection, you got to think of yourself as an island inside of you. And you've got to connect with that island, that self, that part of you, that self. That's the part that you need to reconnect with, that island that is you. And in that way, you will never feel alone or abandoned, because there's a strong, because once you're connected with yourself, then you are connected to the divine. And if you're connected with the divine, you are connected with everybody else. So yeah, that was a, and he said, yes. And to what we tend to do to avoid that loneliness is that we want to reconnect with people, or using our devices or using our platforms or whatever. And like I said, it's a radical thought, but I just wanted to share what he was saying. And he said, what you should try and do is just to sit in that discomfort, sit in that moment and investigate that moment and find through that moment how you can reconnect and re-engage with that island that is the self that you've forgotten over time. And I thought that was a really profound and powerful thing. And yeah. That's it.
All right, sir. All right. All right.
I don't know. Was that a downer? Was that a bit of a dip?
No.
Antonio said beautiful. Place. I can't unmute fast enough. I'm sorry.
I told Antonio, I said, when you were talking about the dream about your ex-wife, I was like, if he's having a dream, that means that's a good thing. That means he's overcoming stuff and he's opening himself up to... I mean, unfortunately, it was her in your dream, but I'm saying, like, at least you're opening yourself up to where you're having right. a dream now. So I think it's a good thing, too.
Yeah, but those dreams, they be throwing a messing me all up. They be throwing me off. They be throwing me off.
At least you didn't hit her. At least you didn't hit her.
No.
All right. All right, who else do we have? Anyone have any sad moments this week, any mad moments this week? Talking about discipline, part two of what Antonio started with, chapter 7 of Code of the Extraordinary Mind on last week. Anyone else? Oh, go ahead, 404.
Oh, hey, Grace, this is me, Marcella, a.k.a. E-Rubik. I couldn't figure out how to sign on, so I called in. Hey, you know, I usually don't watch the news or mainstream media due to mind control and everything, but I did it today for some reason. And I ran across an article. I'm out of Atlanta, so I learned that 8 people were senselessly murdered. And it made me sad because it caused me to remember, you know, other attacks on U.S. soil. And so that was one instance where I think I had some self-inflicted pain because I didn't have to turn the TV on, but I did. And so that's what kind of made me a bit sad today, other people's pain with whom I do not know.
Amen. That is good stuff. Very much so. Other people's pain can make you feel, you know, it's not just, you know, what happens to you, what happens to others may do it, can do it as well. Thank you so much for sharing, Ms. Marcella. Prophet Jerry, you're up.
Yeah, I would say this should make me glad, but it made me mad. I found out that my oldest niece is pregnant again. And bringing life is a good thing, but she haven't kept the other five that the other five was taken away. So it's like, why would you set yourself up for these okey-doke young boys to say, I love you, just to squat your legs open, I'm sorry. Forgive me if I'm being too graphic, but squat your legs open and say, I love you, and get you pregnant, and then you end up losing it. So that was a moment for me this week because, you know, I tried to tell her on the third child to go ahead and get a tube shot. Because this, the oldest niece is like my heart, you know what I'm saying? This the one I've poured into when she was a baby. I took her under my wings and, you know, a lot of things have happened to her. And so it's a state of why, you know, why would you let this happen to you? And then coming to find out, I'm not mad at the baby daddy because, you know, men are going to be men, but he ended up getting hit by a car and he's deceased. So now that's just another baby in the system. So it was like, when are you going to learn? You got all these different baby daddies. When are you going to learn? So that was my moment to where I was upset and at the same time, I'm praying she get to keep this one, but it's very hard to say she's gonna be able to keep this one. Cause once the system find out she's pregnant, I think she's trying to hide it now, but once the system find out she's pregnant, they gonna snatch it up soon as she take it out. Soon as she had the baby, that's what happened to the last two. She didn't even get a chance to hold the baby real good before they snatched her out of her life. So it's just one of those things that really got me upset to the fact of, when are you gonna learn? Find something to do with yourself than just laying up getting pregnant.
All right. Thank you so much, Prophet Jerry, for your transparency on this evening. All right, Mr. Latrice, floor is yours.
Oh, can you hear me? Uh-oh, I did it. Two things for me.
Yes, ma'am.
I'm happy, sad, because I have not watched TV in 2 weeks. I've been working on my time management. I have not watched television for 2 whole weeks. I've gotten so much done. Oh my God. I have not done one class though, Antonio. That's next. I have not watched a class in 2 weeks, but I am. I'm working on my time management. So just not watching TV, you can get so much done. And that's what I've been doing for the last couple of weeks, working on my time management. And I did get a blessing today. I went out to lunch And this guy paid for our meal. It was three of us, and he paid for all of our meals today. And I didn't even know him, never seen him before in our life. And we just got up there and they paid for everything. That never happened to me before, but that's it for me.
Come on, God.
Oh, yeah.
Congratulations.
Well, I will have the salsa will be in the stores April, the weekend of Easter. So we're going to be doing sampling and everything the weekend of Easter. So good things are happening. Thank you.
Oh, right. Bye. Yes, they are. Yes. Love you too, Miss Latrice. Yes. Congratulations. All right. All right. All right. Well, let's go. Okay. Yeah. All right. Here we go. he was so engaged in listening to all of you all's transparency and how everything, your lives were going this week. he reminded himself, oh, it's my turn. That's it. So, ladies and gentlemen, I now turn this over to our founder and CEO, Mr. Antonio T. Smith Jr.
Yes. Well, Phil is correct. I obviously have an agenda, and you will be reading along with me an agenda. Typically, I would have Grace read because she reads so well. You know, the public school taught her reading very well. Before, I thought, well, how can I get people to understand bliss discipline, and how can I get people to understand, how can I? Well, I want all of you to time travel. Back in 2011, I met a friend. I'll tell you who it is in a second. And then in 2012, I start writing my first book that came out in 2014. In 2012, I wrote a chapter honoring that friend. Now, they had no idea who it was when the book came out. Now, Keep Walking, my first book, I have no idea how. Law of Attraction will be my only example, but it hit Amazon number one bestseller over 100 times. Thank you. No marketing. I was super broke. Maybe you heard the book. It's called Keep Walking. In the book, Keep Walking, chapter 4 specifically, I secretly wrote a chapter about that friend. I actually wrote a bunch of chapters about a bunch of people. Some of them were negative or had the negative connotation. And chapter 4 was about my friend Tempest. It doesn't, she didn't know it. She read it and she was like, oh my God, I want to help this person so much, right? I want to help this person so much. And it was her. I want you to time travel with me back in the 2012 when I completed this chapter. I'm with Joel Osteen. And I want you to remember all the things you said. Remember, the first question was, have you been happy this? I mean, have you been angry? Nope. But then, oh, Tempest is on the line. Oh my God. No, my goodness. Oh, and her camera on.
And she put the camera on. She's saying you better watch it.
Put her whole camera on. Let me brighten up my screen and start looking at it. All right, there we go. I keep my stuff real low, but hey, Tempest. Hi. Yeah, like a thief in the night. And I remember, and this chapter has a wonderful connotation. And I remember writing about her because I cared that much. Notice that when I asked y'all, have you been angry? But when I asked you, have you been sad? That dominated the conversation for 30 minutes. My friend Tempest, when I first met her, had the same problem. I want you to time travel with me. And now she's online. So time travel with her. And I want you to listen, now that you know who it is. And well, I won't say much else. Here we go. I'm going to read it, Grace, because it's actually my words. Chapter 4, Every Ocean Has a Shore. her pain and my friend. Have you ever been so hurt you felt as if there was no end to your pain? Have you ever felt as if you were drowning in your sorrow, and no matter how hard you swam, the winds and the currents of your situation kept blowing you deeper into sadness? If you plan to keep walking through the rain of your life, the third thing you must do is realize that every ocean has a shore. Pain hurts. This is not a surprise to you. However, regardless of how big the oceans are in your life, eventually land will appear. It doesn't always have to be land. It doesn't always have to be the land you want it to be, but let's face it, when you have been stuck in the ocean for extended periods of time, any land looks awesome. Now, hold on real quick. I just want y'all to listen. I forgot y'all like to read ahead. Pain works in the same manner. Now, why wouldn't it? We're all bound to the same laws of physics. These laws affect us all. Therefore, your pain has to obey them as well. Nothing can last forever. I have a friend. She goes through mental abuse, and she spent the rest of her life allowing the world to abuse her. She allowed someone she loves to abuse her and send her to the deepest oceans. And then she convinced herself that the oceans is all she deserved. You know anyone like this? She had convinced herself that land did not exist. No, she had convinced herself that land did exist, but it was for other people. You hear what I'm saying? She knew the land was out there. She knew that it was available to people. She even knew that it felt much better than swimming in her pain all day long. But she convinced herself that other people deserve to walk on land and not her. I can relate to her on so many levels. For so many years, I allowed my childhood to convince me that I wasn't worth anything and everyone else was much better than me. They looked better than me, they were smarter than me, and they were definitely deserved more than me. I can relate to my friend because years ago, I was my friend. I remember what it feels like to have something good happen to you only to live in the fear that something terrible will happen to take it all away. Can you relate? Because I certainly can. Did you do the same thing? Did you believe only good things happen to other people? Stop. Good things happen to all of us, even you. This next session is titled, "We All Possess the Land We Need." My friend's view of life is a life filled with land that she does not deserve. She doesn't understand why she doesn't have land and why she's not worthy of it. She isn't sure who is responsible for this idea either. She is convinced life has plenty of lands, but none of that qualifies her to receive. To her, oceans have shores, but for everyone but her. Every ocean has a shore, even yours. For this world to be a habitat for humans, it must contain land. Likewise, for you to be a habitat for your problems, you must contain land as well. We all have the shores we need to deal with the life's oceans throwing us deep within ourselves. Regardless of how deep you find yourself in your own ocean of problems, you contain all the shores you will ever need inside of you. They have been there for a long time. Since we all are different, these lands that we possess, they look different than one another. It looks different for you, it looks different for me, but it all makes itself appear to us differently, but it's still yours, and you can still tap into it. What does this land look like? Well, for me, it looks like self-assurance, the internal belief that allows me to move out of deep water and onto shores of my success. I am sure life will always find a way to throw me into deep waters. That is just how life works. But I have enough confidence in myself to remember that I've made it out once and I will make it out again. When I was younger, it was not easy going to school. I didn't dress like the cool kids. I didn't smell like the cool kids. Never had a haircut like the cool kids. In fact, it was even rare for me to even have a haircut. For me, school was never an oasis of joy. It was a deficiency of hope. It took a lot of nerve for me to get up every single morning and attend class, knowing that I would be teased. It's hard enough for grown men and women to go to a job where no one likes them. Imagine how a child feels going to school in the same situation. I can't say for certain, and I don't want to be insensitive with this next statement, but I think being bullied by children when you're homeless is much more painful than when you are not. Please don't take me to be inconsiderate. Bullying in any situation is treacherous, but to be bullied with no moral support is almost suicidal. To be honest, for me, it was suicidal. I could say so much more about the situation, but I won't. I don't like going back to that place in my mind, so I won't do that in this book. Don't be a bully. You're doing much harm than you think. Using resources available to you. During my early school years, I looked different. This shouldn't come as much of a surprise. I wasn't able to properly groom myself. I didn't have access to mirrors or incandescent light bulbs like other kids. If you have access to any two of these things I just mentioned, count your blessings and be more appreciative. It is entirely possible that you will walk past a child today who does not. Two things were noticeably different about me, my teeth and my hair. Shouldn't be much of a surprise, but sometimes I would go months without brushing my teeth. This wasn't due to any lack of hygiene, rather lack of running water in my circumstances. I would eventually find a way around getting teased for my teeth. A little baking soda and the underside of my shirt would do the trick, but my hair was a whole other issue. The other kids made fun of me because my hair was unkempt, uncultured. One morning before school, I went to my grandmother's house and my Aunt Lucy combed my hair for me. She would eventually raise me and adopt me as her own child alongside my grandmother as I was leaving the house. She gave me a fork and told me, always keep it on me. She didn't want the other kids to tease me anymore. So armed with this fork, I would now be equipped to fight against harsh words and torture aimed in my direction. Not with violence against children, but with the ability to fight against my hygiene. I always loved my aunt. She was one of the only people who always showed me unconditional love, regardless of how much I rejected her. Today, she is one of the most faithful members of my church. She is my mother, although she has never given birth to me. What she did for me that day was special. She taught me how to use the resources available to me to combat the ridicule and poverty that was equally available to me. I have learned fewer lessons that have proved to be more important than this one. Armed with this newfound resourcefulness, I was confronted with one embarrassing question. Who combs their hair with a fork? That's crazy. No one is supposed to comb their hair with a fork. How embarrassing. If there has ever been a clear indication that life is not going well, combing your hair with a fork is one of them. There should come a time in everyone's life when they must realize their self-worth is not dependent on what other people think about them, but what they think about themselves. Well, combing my hair with a fork was that time for me. I had to swallow my pride and accept the fact that this was going to be my life and I had to make the best of it. For me, my shore is inner confidence, which tells me I am not a failure. It is that voice on the inside that allows me to comb my hair with a fork, run that kitchen utensil through my hair, and take myself to school. It takes an enormous amount of self-assurance to walk outside of any building armed with a fork and baking soda as your primary weapons against poor hygiene. But this is exactly what I did. I'm not embarrassed about it. I don't ever want to do it again. But if I had to, I would. Your shore may be different, but it's still a shore. Unfortunately, not everyone possesses my level of self-assurance, and some people never will. They don't have to. We all have the shores we need to walk without an umbrella stored inside of us. We were born with these shores. My friend doesn't have self-assurance. She's got a hell of a lot of self-assurance now, I tell you. She does not have the self-assurance I have, and she probably never will. Wrong. Don't try to put a shore inside of you because it looks good on someone else's waterfront.
Watch yourself.
There is nothing more gratifying than being exactly who you are designed to be. Just because a shore looks amazing on anyone doesn't mean that shore will look amazing on you. Hear me well. You are the best thing that has ever happened to you. Not me, not this book, not your favorite person in the whole world, and not your spouse, you. It's okay to want to be better than what you are right now. But it is unacceptable to believe that you have on the inside of, it's unacceptable to believe that what you have on the inside isn't as good as what others have on the inside of them. Quite frankly, you are amazing. Say it over and over and over again until you feel comfortable saying it. You have what it takes to make a difference in your life. Don't be ashamed of yourself because you do not have the talents that put you out front or center stage. I am constantly out front, but if it were not for the team of people behind me using their talents and resources, I wouldn't be anywhere. The best talents in the world are the ones inside of you. Believe and make it your goal to learn to love you more than you love others. Love yourself and you will give the world permission to love you. Use your own shores and you will learn that nothing will be able to stop you again. My friend does not have my self-assurance, but my friend has the amazing ability to learn anything. She is addicted to learning. She can completely be ignorant on a subject, and the next time you see her, she will be an expert in it. This is her shore. If she ever gets thrown in the deep water, she can literally watch someone experience success and then replicate what they have done and swim her way to an ocean. This is an amazing gift. To be able to watch someone do something and turn around and do it better than they have done it is simply amazing. I do not have this shore, but I sure wish I did. Watching others and learning is not something I do well. Truthfully, I don't do well at too many things unless I own it. If I get to build it from the ground up or come in your organization and identify what is wrong and then begin to build it without you micromanaging me, I don't do well. Believe me, I've tried, but it is not within me. However, I can assure you that I am very comfortable being myself. I don't mind that you may be more awesome than me. I am happy for you. This is how we all must become. We must be able to know that we are and we possess on the inside, and what we possess on the inside is far greater than what we actually know. It is time for us all to tap into our greatness. So what about you? Are you ready to believe in yourself and accept that you are as amazing as the next person? We all have more than one shore inside of us. I just chose to highlight these. What does your shore look like? If you're trapped in your deepest ocean and you can't see your way out, remember that every ocean has a shore, and the shores are already inside of you. You were born with them. They are yours to access. They are yours to conquer, and they are yours to stand upon. They may not look like mine, and they shouldn't. What works for me may not work for you. The land I stand upon may not be big enough for you, but be proud of who you are and be proud of your uniqueness. Now start swimming, and I'll meet you at the shore. And that's how that chapter ends.
Yo, that's beautiful, man. Wow.
I want to highlight something, to open it up for everybody, and I'm certainly going to have Tempest talk since she's here. What are the odds? I had this planned. What are the odds? But listen to what I said. Listen to what I said. My friend has the uncanny ability to learn anything, be dumb at it, ignorant, and then go in and master it. And if I tell y'all right now, I got chills when I read that, because this damn girl is doing that in cybersecurity right now.
Yeah.
That's amazing. That's 2012. I wrote. How old was I in 2012? I was born in 1981. How old was I? What is that?
Hold on.
I don't even know what it is. Wrench around and wrench it off.
2012.
2012.
21 minus 9.
Minus 9. 30. I was 30 years old. I was 9 years ago. Gosh darn it. And she was 24 or something like that. And I looked at her, and I immediately, after 1 year knowing her, understood that about her. Now, I ain't got nothing to say right now. I hope this is an Oprah moment. Tempest. I was wrong about that. She may not be as assured. She lies. She is assured. Let me tell you. Let me tell you. She changed. Okay. Tempest, you got the floor. I certainly will let you respond. So that was talking behind your back. Didn't even know you was here. Go ahead.
Yeah. I told you. God told me to show up today. Remember, I talked to you Monday and I told you.
I thought you would talk about the morning one, not this one.
Well, I thought so too, but a thing came up this morning.
That's right. Look at that. Interesting. Go ahead.
Wow. I don't know what to say. I'm definitely not that person. And hearing that he read out loud makes me realize just like how far I've come. I can't stop crying. I'm just thankful I'm not that person anymore. And yeah, I don't really know what to say. So maybe if y'all say something, I'll respond, but I have.
Okay, I'll let them. Daoud, we're going to start off with you. Come on, yeah, we're going to start off with you, Daoud. Come on.
It's a freaking beautiful, beautiful. Anybody watch Life of Pi? Same like that, stuck in the ocean, in the middle of the ocean, didn't know how he was going to whatever, traverse and get to the shore. And when you just use that metaphor, it made me, it gave me so much hope. because you were speaking of Tempest, this person with this amazing ability who found herself in a place where she was always in an ocean and felt like she didn't deserve any better. And there have been many times in my life where I felt like that. And to compare the ocean with your emotions was just like, that's how it feels. Like the seas get rough sometimes and the swells are so overwhelming. You're like, there is no land in sight. It's been 6 months and I'm still crying. So much that I have headaches, you know, so much that my ears start to hurt. How do I get to the other side, or how do I get to the shore? I pushed myself away from the shore, but now, well, from the other shore, from the island that was no longer serving me. And now I'm in the middle of this tempest, the storm, and I don't know how I'm gonna get to the other side. And then I look at Tempest, and I'm like, wow, she got to the other side. And I'm like, I don't know how I'm gonna get there. And it's like you said, I don't know how I'm gonna get there, but maybe I just gotta leave it in the universe's hands and just be like, but I will get there. I don't know how, but I gotta fail my way to the shore, something, you know? And yeah, I have no excuses. When I hear your story, when I hear her story, I'm like, I have no excuse, no excuse. There are other people out there who have far more, who were facing far more adverse conditions than myself, and they've made it, and they've made it being self-assured. And I have no excuse. I have my reasons, but they pale in comparison, and all I can do is just put one foot in front of the other and just, I don't know, just believe that I'll get there. But powerful. Thank you. Thank you.
Yes, sir. Thank you so much. Thank you. Yes, yes. Thank you. Thank you so much. Yeah. Who's next?
Daun.
Yes, sir. Yes.
It's 20% how, 30% why, and 50% do you have the willpower? You have the self-discipline. You have the self-control.
100% so. And I think, and I'll just keep it short, jumping on these calls keeps me in the space of being accountable, and it keeps me motivated and in that dialogue that I have to keep on pressing on. Because most of the time I'm just hanging on to y'all. I'm hanging on to your stories. I'm hanging on to the tips and techniques. And sometimes you're just pulling me through. You know, so thank you.
I don't want to.
If there's somebody else that needs to say something, please. There's a reason why my phone don't work. There's a reason why I'm on this machine. I'm glad that I was I'm glad.
Come on, talk to me.
I'm glad because I've been going through, these are good, sad, happy tears, right? Like you made it type tears. Amen. Because out of all the people in the square in the ATS, Tempest is the person that I resonate with the most. So when Tempest speaks, I know. Now, even Deanna now, because Deanna has been speaking to me, but when I first started this thing, when I tell you I can feel and see disgust out of many, but it was the care of the Tempest look that touches me. And right now I have a book that is being published. And when I tell you that I'm reading this book in awe of me, because I was standing in a stronger place when I even spoke these words than I am right now. Mm. Trying to do what I need to do to put it out there. Mm. And that's why I said, I didn't realize that it was blissfulness that I was holding on to all week. Because whatever the sad was, whatever the down was, I was just speaking it off me anyway, because it wasn't even, it's not a part of that anymore. I have arrived. Like, I was on that, like, I don't know why she called and said that she was going to be on it. I don't know why. It's usually a time when I got to leave off this call to do something that I've been doing. But because of the book, I refuse to just do it. I refuse to leave it. But I bless God, the day is not my week. So I don't have to rush. I don't have to go. But Tempest, I don't know why you're here. Mm. But right now, I've been asking for some type of something. And I've just been holding, like Dao said, only thing I know how to do is stay on the call. I heard keep my boat in the water. And I'm in the water. Grace spoke about Martha the other day, about getting in the boat and the boat start falling apart. Mm-hmm. And the only thing they wanted to do was get to the shore. Yes, so it all to come this full circle right here.
Thank you, God.
That's all I can say is thank you, God.
Mm. Thank you, God.
And just it out, sister. It out. Thank you for being obedient. And the biggest fear that I have is that I don't know how to do anything.
Yeah.
And just the strength to know that, that you can put your mind to it. And I mean, every time cybersecurity even pops up in my world where somebody looks like they're doing something wrong, I smile like, I know Tempest got that thing down. Like, she worked that thing. So for you to just be here, like, just for you to be here, I know you didn't know what to say, but now I'm asking you, you don't got to speak life because I'm living. And I bless God for every example and everything that the ATS is doing. But right now, Tempest, I'm almost to the point where I believe that I'm there. But it's something, and I don't know what it is. And maybe you can help me. I'm so mad that my camera is not on right now because this is...
It's all right. Everything is all right. Everything is all right. She'll talk in a little bit. We got you. Y'all unmute your mics and pour into this wonderful, wonderful agent.
Yes. We love you,
Thanks. A. We love you. Thank you for your transparency, for absolutely. Your honesty.
Absolutely. Thank you. She will talk. She, trust me, she, and when she's like, when Tempest talks, God stops and starts listening. Don't believe that. She will talk. Who else? Don't fool me now.
Everything that you read, mm-hmm. the story that you told, it is so real. This day has been a day. Mm. From what Miss Adrian spoke to what you read about Tempest, it's like you're telling the story of my life. Mm. I thank you for the deliverance. I thank you for being used. But it's real.
Yes.
To know that there's land out there, to know that you're swimming, and if you just keep swimming, eventually something's going to fall. You don't know when.
That's right.
You don't know why. Mm-mm. But you got to hold on to this. Got to be a reason. Because if nobody, even if you're not worth much, you got to know that there's got to be a reason, because nobody's put on this earth just to suffer for nothing.
Yeah.
And if you just hold on, eventually that day is going to come. And sometimes it seems like it's never going to come. Mm. And sometimes it seems like even if the day is going to come, that it's not going to be you, not because part of you don't think that it's real. Mm-hmm. It's just not real for you.
That's mm-hmm. it. That's right.
And it's overcoming those thoughts. it's overcoming that belief, because it's true, just like in the letter or the email that you wrote, as far as having belief over loyalty. Are you going to be loyal to these low self-esteem and these rules? Even if you're strong and you talk yourself up to being strong, you get beat up enough.
Yeah.
You don't know how to fight no more. You just kind of like, well, this is what it is. So you learn to be happy in your defeat and just understand that, you know, this is your lot. And if you can be good at least losing, then maybe it won't be bad for somebody else. And this, wow, it'll be okay because you can take it, you know? Wow. And coming into this ATS, coming into everything that you're doing, it's a rough awakening. But it's like, I think I told Grace the other night, you know, you get beat up, but you, like God, you lick our wounds. It's like, you're going to be all right. You just need to wake up and face it and understand that this way of thinking is wrong. And that it's going to get better, but you don't have to work to make it better. Just like you worked at wanting to make yourself believe this when you decided to stop fighting. So I thank you for your words. I thank you for your story. I thank you all for your honesty, because I want to fight. I want to live. I don't want to be the way I am. I don't want to stay here. And I know I don't have to stay here. And hearing y'all stories and seeing y'all success gives me the hope and the will to want to keep pushing and want to know that, you know,
right,
it won't always be like this. But I can't give up. Mm. So thank y'all.
No, thank you. Thank you. Come on, y'all clap for her too. Thank you.
No, thank you.
Amen.
I'm still touched full. Mm. From what Adrian said, so I just heard Christine and all the Adrian, whew, Adrian got me. Adrian touched me. Let me pause real quick. Oh, no, Felicia, come on.
I think for me, and I felt led to share this because when I started out tonight, one of the things that I opened up and I said was, I've gone through so much, right? I've had the hardships, I've had the setbacks, I've had the divorce, I've had the letdowns, I've had the disappointments. I raised two kids by myself. Many a days came home, the lights was off. And as you were reading that story, my mind reflected back. And I think if I can encourage anybody on this call tonight, sometimes you just have to reflect back on where we've come from. You know, when I sit here and I think about, you said this, you wrote this in 2012, that was 9 years ago. And to hear where she was 9 years ago and to see where she's at today, it gives me hope, because I know that for all of us, we've gone through things in life. And even me, to sit here today and think about where God has brought me from to where I am today, I rejoice in knowing that there is a coming out season, y'all. Like, we are worthy of better. We are worthy of the next. We are worthy of happiness and joy and peace. And so it's not until we, oh God, I got chills. It's not until we embrace that. It's not until we allow those good things to surface and we accept them that we'll be able to see the reality of it, that I have come a long way, that I have matured, that I have developed, that I don't have those problems anymore. And so, you know, I say to Tempest, I don't know you, but just thank you for being you, because for him to even be able to write about your story and to see you today, sit here and say, you know, I'm sure that it shook you up just to sit there and reflect on where you were, to have the weight of the world and people beat up on you so much so that you don't feel like you're worthy of love or are worthy of peace or happiness. And to have that today, it's a different feeling.
That's right. No, thank you so much. Y'all clap for it. Thank you so much.
Thank you, too. Thank you. Thank you.
Tip, for those of you who are new, and it's quite a bit, Tempest is my co-founder. She co-founded this company with me. Woo! Yes. Woo! There would be no ATS without Tempest. That is for sure. She was my co-founder, my first paid coaching client. And she softened me up and let everybody else get the softer version of me. While she got the venomous version.
Thank you, Tempest.
Yeah, buddy. She this company, and I'm proud to say it, she built this company from the ground up with me, and now she has a golden parachute. Mm-hmm. Yes.
Yeah, well done, T.
She has stepped down from her active CEO role. She is still co-founder. That's never going to go away. She is now doing cybersecurity, doing exactly what I said in that book, that she's just learning stuff she's not supposed to know and mastering it. She's just been offered. She is getting multiple offers right now. I'm not going to tell her, but yes, multiple offers right now. And then just had one of the world's leading cybersecurity experts tell her 3 days ago, here's my personal number. We are going, I know, I'm going to take care of you.
That's it. Come on now.
And right before this call, I got a message on my phone, and that lady came through. Okay, through. And Tippis is amazing. She is also our chief information security officer, and I'm excited about that. Nevertheless, it is time for her to talk. She never knows what to say, but she always says it well. Always says it well. Tempest, as long as you desire, even though I know you're going to tell me you're not going to be long, you're going to be short.
That's it.
The world is yours. You got it.
Okay, can you hear me? Because I've been having audio problems.
Yes, ma'am.
Okay. I don't know what to say. I don't know. God's been good. That's where I can start, you know? God's been good. God's been incredible. I think good is a slap in the face. God has been everything. And I don't know, it's just, I had no plans on coming on this call today, and I had no idea this is what Antonio is doing. I don't even know what book, what he's talking about. I don't even know the last time I've been to this class. But I told him, I think Monday, that God had told me I needed to show up on Thursday, but God didn't say what Thursday class. And I thought I was supposed to be on the morning call, but I had a meeting pop up. And that is so weird. And I was sitting here on a phone call and got another phone call. And God was like, log on. And I was like, I don't like that class. I've done this class way too many times. I'm over it. But yeah, that's just weird. I've forgotten about that chapter, actually, because I'm not that person, right? You know, I've been through a lot. I've been through storms. I've been through abuse. I've been through brokenness. I've been through betrayal. I've been through telling people we're business owners, we're going to be millionaires, and having lights turned off and having my car repossessed. You know, I've been hungry. I've been on trips and, you know, barely making it. But, and I don't know who it was, so I'm sorry, but somebody said, you know, it's your coming out season. I knew that drowning in the ocean, while it was comfortable because that's all I knew I had a better purpose. I knew that I wasn't tossed in the storm to die in it, you know? I make fun of this story in the Bible all the time, but there's a story in the Bible, Jesus is on the boat and the disciples are on the boat and a great storm comes. And it just clicked in my head when Baruch was talking, like what my name actually means, right? So I guess that's why I like that. story so much. And, you know, the storm is coming or the storm is there and Jesus is resting and they wake him up, you know, to calm the storm because they're afraid. But Jesus is on the boat with them. And I always wondered, why were they afraid of a storm when the creator of everything was right there within their reach? Like, why did they think that they were going to die when the storm calmer was on the boat with them? And I had to internalize that because I've been in storms and wondering why was it so hard? Why am I drowning? And it was because I was focused on the storm and I wasn't focused on Jesus. And he was right there with me all the time. He was protecting me while I was freaking out in the storm. And I didn't have my focus on him. I was focused on the storm. So that's why I was perishing. That's why I was drowning. That's why I couldn't reach my shore, because I was focusing on the wrong things. I was focused on the pain and not the deliverer of the pain. And once I've learned how to switch my focus, I stopped worrying about the storm. The storm still comes, you know? I'm in a storm right now. The storm still comes. And it gets lonely and it gets hard, you know? I cry at night, but I know that God is with me. And as long as I focus, I'm not pushing my religion on y'all, but for me, as long as I focus on the protector that is God or the protector that is the universe, then the storm has no power. I put the power in the storm when I focus on it. But I have somebody in my corner who can make it go away in a blink of an eye. Switch your focus, you know? As long as I was focused on my past and everything that was happening, I stayed drowning. I stayed with people like Antonio saying, you know, you don't have to walk alone, but I wanted to walk alone because I thought that's what I was supposed to do. You know, I think we create more of our storms because we want to be in it. And I have to admit that I wanted to be in the storm because I liked the way that it felt. I was comfortable with the storm. I knew what the storm, you know, contained. So I was comfortable. I didn't want you walking with me. I didn't want you helping me because I knew the storm. You know what I mean? But I don't have to be in the storm, and neither do you. That doesn't mean that you won't go through it, but you don't have to just stand there and drown. How did I get out the storm? I moved, y'all. I recognized that the storm wasn't worthy of me. And I moved, and I moved, and I moved. Did I get tired? Yes. Did I quit 50 billion times? You're absolutely right. But every time I quit, something in me said, you don't deserve to be here. So I had to pack up and keep moving. So Adrian, I heard you talking, but my audio is messing up, so I don't really know everything that you said. But
you answered it. You answered it. Okay. God is awesome, and you're speaking to me, and I hear you. Thank you. Thank you. But that's what I was saying. I had my eyes on it, and I don't care what they're talking about. I know. And I was just bailing it out left and right, but I just didn't understand why. And I just... it's been such heavy because I'm so right, like almost to the water, but I'm so used to just staying in it, you know, letting somebody else do it, that it doesn't have to be me. And I thank God that you made it, because I can hear you. I hear you. Thank you. Thank you.
You're welcome. I never do this, but God told me to tell you, Adrian, that it's time for you to put it down. I don't know what you're carrying. I don't know who you're trying to bring with you or what that is, but it's time for you to put that thing down, because the longer you hold on to it, the longer you're going to drown right where you are. And you know that you don't deserve to be there. And God said he can't pull you to where you deserve to be because you keep holding on to the things that he's trying to help you let go of. It's time to put it down, sis. And to whoever else that was for, but he specifically said, Adrian, if you're holding on to something, that's why we drown. We drown because we're trying to get to the shore, but also hold on to stuff that we have outgrown. I've outgrown some stuff. I am not that girl that he read about, and I refuse to go backwards. I refuse to go backwards. I'm not that girl anymore. I have grown so much because I put some stuff down. I left some people behind. I left some ways behind. Even daily. I just talked to Antonio, I think, Monday or Tuesday, and I told him, we were talking about something, and I told him, well, I did have a negative reaction. But when I had that reaction, I immediately told myself, you know, I don't live there anymore. And I have to constantly remind myself when my flesh wants to react the way that I know my flesh can react, I have to remind myself that I don't live there no more. Somebody gets mad at me for something that I'm doing, my flesh wants to react, but I don't live there anymore. You know, I forgive you, but I got a journey that I deserve, that I'm going on. And if I get, you know, distracted by you, I'm pushing my dreams aside. And I promised myself last year that I wasn't doing that anymore. So, you know, I don't live there no more. I'm not that girl. I'm grateful for the story. I'm grateful to hear it because it did remind me, Felicia, of how far I've come. It did remind me, you know, how far God has brought me. But I'm glad that that girl in that story is not the one that's talking to you right now. So that's all I got for now, unless God has something else. But I think that's about it. This is the longest I've ever spoken. I ain't coming back no more. Leave me alone. Don't use me as no examples, okay?
I had no idea. She was supposed to be in the morning call. I remember, I actually, if you look at my phone, I said, I'll make sure you get the replay. As a matter of fact.
Yes.
And
I was upset because that thing popped up, not because it was the thing, because I was like, well, God, you said I was supposed to be here. And, you know, it all worked out the way it was supposed to.
Yeah, esoteric call. I mean, yes, esoteric call. No doubt. No. I thought it was going to be that calm. And I had no idea she was on. I was wondering, why is they smiling over here back and forth? What was she? And I looked, I ain't have my chat open. I looked at the chat. And then, of course, I saw Tempest in the chat. I had no idea. Because I was sure about to talk dirty about her, you know, in a good way. In a good way. What a wonderful, wonderful, wonderful blessing. Adrian still touched me. I felt all that energy, Adrian. That was transformational. Hold on real quick. Jaquita, is it, you said 1 to 3 days? Is that like yes, or you stopped it from saying that? Let me see. I mean, it's text and ask. Is it 1 to 3 days, or is it, or did she stop it?
It said 1 to 3 days, so I stopped. Do you want me to go ahead and press play on that?
Okay, hold on. No. We'll wrench around and wrench it off right after this call.
Okay.
All right. Let's see. So here was my plan. The Tempest being present actually boosted my plan even more. My plan was to say, hey, remember how y'all talking about all the sadness and stuff? Remember that? Well, let me tell you about my formerly sad friend. Okay. And I mean, I'm telling you, Tippis used to cry and then leave tell him, Tippis. I don't even want y'all to think I'm lying.
I think I cried pretty much every day.
Oh yeah, every day. What about your glasses?
I was so broken. And that's what I knew, you know?
Yep. You ain't nothing like that no more. You mean as hell now. Mean as hell.
I'm not mean.
Okay.
What'd you say? What was the word you used? Self-assured.
Yes. Yes, you definitely that. That little lie that says she would never will. Lies. Big lies. I mean, golly. She's okay. She is something else. She used to cry and her glasses would be all stained up from her tears and she would just keep them there. And Daoud, I would say, we sit right next to the car each other and I would say, here, give me your glasses. Let me clean your glasses. Don't look at the world through your tears.
Ooh, Reverend.
That's a word.
But that was the world I knew.
I know.
That was the world I was comfortable with.
Biggest lesson I have taken here between Adrian and Tempest, it may take 9 years, y'all, but you will transform. Mm. The problem is y'all want to rush that 9 years. You want to get straight to feel happiness. You're 69 and a half years on that. You want to just run all the way over there. No. It took, and then you're being too hard on yourself. That was 23-year-old Tempest. Mm-hmm. Or 25-year-old Tempest. What the hell? She was supposed to be a scientist at the time. And then here's the crazy part. What's even crazier is her consciousness. And other people would say, you know, you're behind. You should have already had a degree. Mm-hmm. Can I push it further? Following that boy.
Uh-oh.
If you wouldn't follow that boy, if you wouldn't push in that boy's dreams, mm-hmm. You'd have your own dreams. Come on, help me, somebody. But now she doing and getting paid opportunities with no degree and feels you need one. Life has a really, 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 really funny way. Funny way of life has a funny way of reminding you you're still alive. Mm. That's a funny way. We walk around dead a lot. Life will remind you, no, you're still alive. You're still here. That was my plan. I done ran out the plan. Tempest done exhalated the plan. So good job, y'all. I ain't even got no final thoughts. Her talk was the final thoughts. It's good to get out early. Good job, because I ain't got nothing else. Antonio T. Smith Jr., you can't play it better. I'm serious. You can't dominate. All right, everybody.
Love you.
Love y'all.
Bye.
Thank you.
So wow.
Love you, Tempest.
That's it, huh? Like, just like that. Love you, Tempest.
Thank you so much. Thank you, Tempest, for your story.
Mm. Call me and tell me what he said. Tell me who he said get rid of.